Welcome to the Property Couch, where each week you get to listen to two of Australia's leading property experts as they share with you the insider's guide to property investing.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Property Couch, where we've got Carolyn Wright, the director and partner in the business Your Property Manager, which manages properties exclusively in the Bayside area of Melbourne. Before the break, we were going through a number of things that you think that people should look out for with a property manager. Mm-hmm. Any other key ones?
Loads. Can I run through my list?
Yeah, we love this.
So critical to a great property manager is obviously setting the right rental rates. And I think one of the things is that we've got the tools to do the market research. We've got the ability to actually show a client what the property's worth. And that also.
And you're in the market.
Yeah, we're in the market every day.
We know the best read on the market than anyone.
Exactly. We know the appealing things about a property, and we can give an owner direct comparables about where their property sits in the market.
Brilliant.
Yeah, and it's just our industry knowledge, and often we don't have to do the research because we just know.
Yep.
And sort of managing that balance, obviously, between maximising income and managing the vacancy rate.
So that's someone coming to you saying, Carolyn, get me the best rent you can get me. I want this. And you being more realistic mm-hmm. about setting what the expectation should be as opposed to, and that's obviously a vendor, or, you know, sort of landlord saying, oh, no, the one up the road can get me an extra $300 a week, supposedly, mm-hmm. when in reality, that's going to be a problem, isn't it?
Yes, and really they should be able to prove it by showing them the data.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about. It's very similar to the sales market, really.
So pitching for a listing.
Exactly, yes.
Because when I'm talking to a client, if I get a range of, say, call it 6:10 to 6:30, mm-hmm. From a property manager who's mm-hmm. a specialist in the area,
yes.
I always tell them to do it on 6:10. Don't do 6:30,
definitely.
Do it on 6:10.
Yeah.
And don't encourage your property manager to go, let's just do 6:40 and see what we get, and then wind it back, because a week's vacancy loses that extra $10 anyway.
Definitely.
And so if their numbers work on the lower end, the rest is cream. So we understate and overperform rather than the other way around.
Without a doubt.
We know that the biggest anxiety that an investor has, irrespective of first time or, you know, experienced, is that period of settlement where they go, will I get a tenant? Despite the fact it's a hot market, will I get a tenant? It's a universal anxiety. So,
and that's a big one that people always ask me. How long should it take to rent my property? And we would normally say 2 to 4 weeks. Being, you know, outside of 4 weeks, something is wrong. Something's not going right.
Yeah.
Unless the property is quite unique. It's either at the very top end of the market.
Yeah.
There's something about the property that limits.
It's cold, it's damp, it doesn't have some modern features.
Exactly, it's not maintained, it's overpriced is usually
is
the reason.
The main one. Yep.
Because pretty much any property should rent if it's priced right.
It's got to meet the market.
Yes, exactly.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep.
Is there any sort of consistent messages on the ones that don't? Is it because I always think you've always got to buy in context mm-hmm. to the neighbourhood. So would you consider the vacancies that you see that go long term are something like in Melbourne, it doesn't have a heater, or something in the suburb where it would typically have off-street parking and doesn't, or just when it's away from the norm within the area? And if so, that'd be a good tip for our listeners.
Again, it probably does come down to price as well. But yes, definitely. You know, if you're renting in Balaclava, a double-fronted Victorian, you can expect no parking. But in Bayside, people do want parking. Yeah, so certain properties that are really unique, that what would be a good example? Something that...
What was that one that you were talking about the other month where it was an Art Deco?
Oh, yes, no heating.
Right on
High Street, so sort of rattling sort of windows and no laundry. Another one, this is an interesting one that we had in a newish estate where all the walls were painted crazy colour, an orange room, a green room,
pastels,
red carpet. I think that took 12 weeks.
That person would have been really proud of that painting.
I'm sure they're very proud.
Come to Queensland where they've still got the peach sponge
on the feature walls. Yes.
Well, I got to confess, one of my properties has got that sponge.
I used to live in it.
And an ex-girlfriend at the time, I hope my wife isn't listening to this particular podcast, decided that she wanted, and I thought, well, why not? And then now I sort of rue the day that I said yes to that. But anyway, still there. It doesn't seem to be too much of a barrier.
It's called Bunnings, mate. It's called Bunnings.
It's in Queensland. Yeah, I'll fly up there one day and fix that.
There's a lot to be said for Dulux Natural White.
True.
And, you know, that's a little tip for investors. I think investors should be painting all their properties pretty much the same colour scheme.
Yeah.
And choose a white, pretty much any white, one of the good ones, and stick that in all of your properties.
Simple colour palette.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Touch-up paints, repainting, you know, you can tell all of your tenants that's the colour that it is. So
yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah.
What else we got?
We've got collecting and depositing monthly rental payments on time. So for investors, cash flow is so crucial.
Yep.
We're very strict about rent payments in our office. Some would probably say too strict, but we collect rents on the first of every month, pay owners on about the 7th, and we only collect rent in a monthly amount.
Okay.
So no part payments, all by direct debit. If you sign on to be a tenant of ours, you're signing on to agree to direct debit.
Okay.
So, and that really streamlines the whole thing of paying on the first as well. People remember it. They know that the money's coming out on that day, just that common due date. So we pro-rata the first payment. And that's,
it's about habit, isn't it?
It is. It's about habit, and it's about setting expectations for tenants and really, I suppose...
Which ultimately improves the reliability of them paying.
Definitely.
You know, they know that they've got to manage a budget, whereas if it's sporadic, it's hard to manage that. But if they know they've got to save up a certain amount to pay that on the first of the month, makes perfect sense to us.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
No arrears issues if you've got direct debit?
No arrears issues. Look, the fact that we have direct debit, it doesn't mean that people have the money in their account, but certainly they're more motivated to have it in their account. And, you know, when you set the expectation as an agent and you're strict about it, tenants do comply. And we stress to them that that's critical for their history as a tenant as well.
The system automation I like about direct debits, it's like you're not relying on the tenant who's got a busy day themselves to quickly open up their phone and push some money in a different direction. It just rips it out.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Love
it. It's easy. Very, very simple. So that's a good one. Obviously, controlling how rent's paid and no part payments is a big one as well. So we're really strict about that. Marketing and advertising your property. I'm super passionate about this topic because you've only got to go onto realestate.com.au or one of the big portal sites to see the quality of the marketing or the poor quality of the marketing that a lot of agents are doing. Photos of, you know, photos taken on iPhones, toilet seats up, do you know, it just...
The dark photos.
Yes, the agent's handbag on the kitchen bench. It's, yes, the upside down photos occasionally. So for us, we tend to use professional photography because in a sense, we're selling the property.
Absolutely.
It's as critical to have a great ad for a rental property as it is for a sales property.
And once you've locked those photos in, they can be reused.
Usually up to about 4 or 5 years.
Yep.
You know, depending on changes to the property, there might be a new kitchen or new carpet or split systems, and but also appealing copywriting. So I put a lot of effort into our copywriting.
Sell the sizzle, not the sausage.
Exactly. Yes. Yep. Yes. We tend to use a little bit of a fluffy sentence or paragraph at the beginning, but then the facts about the property, and then some location.
But the art to that is you're identifying your absolute target audience and you're riding that fluff to the target audience.
Definitely.
So that's what attracts them, as opposed to, you know, what's the classic line? Open light, airy bedroom, great location, $450 a week. Please call.
Or the abbreviations, DLUG for double. Like, you're not paying by the word on the internet. It's like, just write the sentence.
Great tips.
Yeah, I mean, so that is very, very critical. And highlighting the features, if it's a downsizers property and it's great for downsizers, say so. Because that might be the one catchphrase that people see, you know, ground floor, master bedroom, the things that might be a crucial point just for that one particular property.
I love it.
There you go, listeners. There's a critical tip for you. If you're considering using a property manager, go and check out their listings on other people's properties on the internet and see what their copy looks like.
Definitely.
To see if they cut corners and they're lazy or they're really selling them. Because ultimately, recent relevant performance is going to give you an idea of their future performance.
Definitely.
So,
Good tip. Without a doubt.
Very good tip.
We're also doing walkthrough video tours as well, very personalised ones. So we do them ourselves.
Yep.
And we're looking into some new technology where you can actually do a live stream video open for inspection, essentially.
Interesting.
So you can actually be talking to people while you're in the property who are maybe interstate.
Wow,
that's brilliant.
Yeah, our industry is really moving forward, and technology is a big part of that. And using, we've got technology as well now that you can prospect to tenants, which is amazing.
Yep. Well, we talked about some of the other developments in the technology field, which were that they can book your time for the appointments.
That's it.
For the
that's
open
it.
Houses.
That's exactly it, yes.
So, again, rather than, call me back on Saturday. I think I'm going to open it around 10 o'clock. Just keep checking it out on the website. They can actually book a time. That's locked away. The property manager can meet them there. Yep. And it's, again, good,
tenant,
great
tenant
service.
Leaves an inspection, and within a minute of them leaving, we've sent them an application form, online application form, and thank them for coming to the inspection.
So, yep. Listeners, listen to all of this little bit of detail, these one percenters that you're getting constantly. That's what makes for a great property manager, and that's why you pay a fair fee for the value that they give. You know, not every property manager is the same, just like not every doctor is the same, just not any property investment advisor is the same, or buyer's agents, the same story. You get value in the service and the expertise. You don't get value in cheap and cheerful.
Yep.
It's making the invisible visible. I think that's the biggest challenge because the people are often price sensitive, and when they're talking to a property manager, all they can do is compare the prices. They can't compare in the future where this property manager might have a longer vacancy than you.
Yes.
And I think it's making that invisible visible. I think the thing you said before, the cheapest property manager can be the most expensive. That's hard to get your head around.
Yes, it is.
It's not easy to mentally bank that until hindsight kicks in.
Yes.
We're unpacking it right now, so let's keep going.
Yeah, let's keep
going.
Sounds great. Finding the right tenants, obviously. I mean, look, the two things you care about most are people's ability to pay the rent and to look after the property.
Yep.
They're the two big buckets. But finding the right tenants and knowing how to check them is really critical, and knowing some of the tricks of the trade. You know, if someone's self-employed, if there's anomalies. You know, we had a lady applied for a property the other day who was unemployed. So on her application form says unemployed. But she, when you look deeply into her application form and start to actually peel back the layers, she had been employed with a big airline for 17 years nonstop on a very, very big salary. But she just moved back to Melbourne. So she was living in Dubai. And if we just went through a checkbox process and didn't look deeply into this, we probably would have said, look, how are you going to pay your rent? You're unemployed.
Mm, yeah.
So it's really peeling back those layers and being able to know the tricks of the trade to get the information from people and move forward from there. So ensuring tenants can't slip through the cracks, because I think where a lot of property managers go wrong is they'll do some checks on a tenant. Tenant might say, you've been living with mum and dad for the last couple of years. And, you know, there's red flags that we know of, if you're good, no one should slip through those cracks, because with the internet these days and with the ability to email overseas or anywhere, people had to have lived somewhere before they've come to you.
Social media, Facebook.
Yes, yeah. Google. It's all there. So it doesn't matter if they've been living in Russia, we can find out where they've been.
Yeah.
So if you are following that process, there really shouldn't be people slipping through the cracks.
Right.
So that's...
Beware the digital fingerprint, huh?
Exactly. Exactly. Probably another one is managing owners as well. It's managing expectations, educating them to understand, again, the process, the laws, and advising them in a way that balances, I suppose, that marriage between tenant and landlord. And that's a crucial one too.
I think it is. I think there's sometimes landlords can be a little bit disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly aggressive landlords. That's just crazy. Mm-hmm. These people are helping you control this asset and are your passive income of the future.
Mm-hmm.
Respect them. Look after them. Early on, in fact, I used to give 1 week's rent free just before Christmas, so they could buy presents for Christmas or whatever it may be. And
that idea.
My property manager said, you're mad. And I think it was more about, my systems, how are they going to cope with that? But it was just a little, someone had been there for a couple of years. And when I go and do an inspection on a property, if I haven't seen the property for a couple of years, I'll go to Bunnings first and I'll just buy up globes and and you know, sort of you know, those bombs,
yes,
and you know, that sort of cockroach stuff and stuff. And I just bring a packet in, and I just put it on the bench and just say, look, there you go, just some spares.
Hope you weren't insinuating they had cockroaches.
I'm glad you expanded that, because you said I bring bombs. I'm thinking, where's this going?
Insect bombs.
What about the flowers and the wine and the chocolates, Ben?
Oh, well, that's true too. Well, I'm normally going to Bunnings because there might be
practical.
Something.
You're very practical. Yeah, practical. You take a practical approach.
He's going to Boys Meyer.
Yeah, I think the other thing is that it's not personal for us. You know, with a landlord and tenant relationship, it often becomes red corner, blue corner.
Yeah.
And I think having the property manager as the conduit between those two people, we get the biffo and then we can soften it and pass it on in a nicer way.
In our mortgage broker business, we say the same thing. We're like a duck on water. You know, the duck's looking smooth, it's cruising along, but underneath we're kicking away like mad to try and get the banks to comply.
Can I say that's something that I've noticed about you? Because you've actually invited us to be in a room full of your landlords previously. Yeah. And they were raving about you. And that's actually really rare.
Hmm.
And I think it comes back to the nurture. But I think you've taken a really proactive approach to, instead of just seeing it as an opportunity just to take the cream off the top of their income and never be seen, you're very visible, you're front-footing it, and you're being proactive in delivering the things that you think that they expect, so that their expectations are being met. And at the same time, you're not being adversarial with your tenants. And I think it's a really positive thing that you've done in your business. Yeah. I think property managers around the country should model it.
Yeah, thanks, Bryce. Look, I think one of the key things is that we really care about looking after our customers, and you know that if you focus on the customer and the good outcomes for them, that it's not about the money. The money comes at some point, but
through
for
a
us,
process.
Yes, through a good process. It's looking after the clients and building those relationships with them, and we get mainly our business from referrals. So
when you're interviewing a property manager, listeners, what we're saying there is listen for their passion, listen for their interest. Listen for their care in terms of not one, just your asset, and not two, what's in it for you, but also the importance of the tenant.
Yes.
You know, and there are some areas where the tenants are disrespectful and it's tough and we get it. It's a dump. It's, you know, it's a dogfight out there. It's, you know, you might be in a lower socio-demographic area. So your property manager needs to be at their top of their game to be any good.
It's the Richard Branson approach. He says that I don't try and drive value for my shareholders. I try and keep my employees happy, and then the shareholders will be happy as a direct result of that. It sounds like you're thinking, well, if I can get the best tenants and keep them happy and they're going to look after my client's asset, it'll have that same flow on effect back to your landlords, and it works out best for you as a business too.
It does, indeed. And, you know, I think we are landlord advocates. They're the people that pay us, and we're always very mindful of that. But also educating your owners to understand the needs of tenants and what keeps them happy is really crucial.
Very true.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
These are great. Keep them coming.
Keep going through the list. Managing tradies and contractors. Look, one of the most common things that we hear from owners, particularly new ones to the game, is, can you get me 3 quotes? And, you know, if they're looking to have a job done, we really try to educate our owners to understand that when you work with tradies day in, day out, and you're an agency like us, we don't take any kickbacks, we don't take favours or anything like that. At the end of the day, it's a fair job for fair price.
Yep.
Getting 3 quotes can be really hard because 2 people miss out, 1 person gets the job, and if you're continually giving to the guy that you know is the best price, does the best job, that can be a bit tricky because, you know, 2 of the 3 are going to miss out. So, look, we really encourage our owners to trust us that we're using the right people and we will get you the best price. So managing relationships, ensuring your tradies have got insurance, you know, are they registered for GST or not? You know, making sure all those T's are crossed and the I's are dotted in terms of relationships with tradies.
That's really good advice. And, again, coming back to my portfolio, my property managers, I say, if it's anything under $300, don't bother me.
Yeah.
Do not bother me.
Mm-hmm.
If it's over $300, give me a recommendation.
Yes.
Because if I've got and developed trust with that property manager and they've been looking after my properties a long time, the last thing I want them to do is get me 3 quotes.
Yes.
I mean, they're not going to screw you up.
Yes, no.
You know, at the end of the day, that, you know, you're there, you're looking after their big important assets. So this whole idea of get me 3 or 4
particularly
quotes.
Particularly if it's for an under $300 job. Yes, if you're spending $3,000, I can understand that you would want to do some price comparisons.
Well, give me some ideas of what my solution is. So if I've got, you know, one of my properties at the end of the day had the bathroom was pretty tired and it was also some damage out in the sort of windowsill area and that. So there was a bit of moisture.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, just think about some of the solutions mm-hmm. for me and then I'll make some recommendations. So one of the solutions was knock the whole wall out, build it all up, 15 grand
yes,
later.
Yes.
And the other solution was, look, I think we can water seal this with a really important paint, a new product that's come on the market, and I think we can get away with it for $1,500. So then as the owner, I can make that informed decision
that's
in
right.
terms of how long is it going to last me. It's probably going to last you 10 years as a minimum. This product's got a 10-year warranty on it. Sounds good. Good
yes.
result.
Balancing out those bigger jobs is crucial for cash flow. Compliance is obviously another big one. Smoke alarms, pool safety barriers, a massive one that in the media a bit. Gas and blind cord safety. So they're the things that we're on the lookout for. It's a compulsory part of our service that people sign up for a smoke alarm service.
Yep.
We did get initially quite a bit of pushback from that because I suppose for owners, a lot of them think, well, it's the tenant's responsibility to change the smoke alarm battery. And there's no law around that here in Victoria at the moment.
Yes, there are in other states.
Yes, that's a tricky thing. But for $99 a year as an insurance, for you to take that onus off a tenant to avoid being dragged up at the coroner's court when you lose a tenant. We had a range hood set on fire in a property just a couple of weeks ago. Got the 4:30 a.m. call. We had a house over the road from one of our rentals burned down completely in the last 2 weeks, maybe last weekend. Smoke alarm saved their lives. So those things, you know, for $99, why would you bother saying it's a tenant's responsibility?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
just get the job done, make sure that your property is safe and take the onus off you. And
I'll tell you this, even if legally the landlord can justify that it wasn't their responsibility in a court of law if someone does pass away, if that tenant's family member wants to even try on,
mm-hmm.
the legal costs alone are in the tens of thousands
exactly.
of dollars just to protect your interest.
Just, yes.
Because the first thing they're going to do is, you know, from a civil point of view, is look at your asset base
yes.
and say, well, let's
yes.
go after you.
Yes.
So it doesn't matter if you're right. You still feel guilty.
Yes.
It's another human being.
Exactly.
So prevention's better than cure.
So compliance, a big one for us. I think having a property manager as well, and we touched on this earlier, is, you know, if you've got a big portfolio and you're not self-managing, you can have properties pretty much anywhere, like you've said, borderless.
Yep.
And you've got...
Well, we want to get the best returns.
Exactly.
I mean, so we can't just look in our own backyard.
Peace of mind is a big one, and that's our tagline in our business, our service, your peace of mind. I think that's a huge one for owners.
Yep.
Really, if you have a great property manager, you should be just reaping the rewards of having a good property and the money coming in, no hassles.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in that. I mean, I've talked about a good property shouldn't take you more than 10 hours a year to manage because you've got someone
definitely.
Else managing it.
Yes, that's
so,
right.
So, you know, my properties, if I don't hear from the property manager, I will hear because I get the regular
mm-hmm.
inspection reports.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it.
Yes.
So you're getting back on with your life.
Exactly.
And this investment's going on,
yes.
you know, nicely, and you're getting some nice feedback, but that's what it should be, you know. And anything more than that, if you're being more hands-on, that's your choice.
Yes.
But I would outsource that to a professional any day of the week.
Well, that time can then be spent on what's my next purchase? What's my next move in building
just enjoying
my
your life
exactly.
as well.
That's
you know,
exactly
that's what,
right.
That passive investor, we're passionate about it, so it'll be us looking at the next property we want to buy. But for other people, it's like, I just want to buy two or three of these and, you know,
it's that photo of you on the banana lounge with a cocktail.
Yeah. Pina colada there.
Exactly, under the palm tree. Yes, the documentation we touched on earlier, you know, a good property manager should have the best documentation. Just from the little things, from ensuring that your keys are photocopied, that your remotes are recorded, that instruction manuals are looked after. And those things, not done properly, cost owners money. And we see it time and time again. So it's all the way through, from leasing the property to the final inspection, there are big opportunities for investors to lose money if they're not, you know, well managed by a good property manager.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Those are great. Couple more.
Okay. Handling of urgent repairs is a big one. You know, again.
That 4:30 call in the morning.
The 4:30 call in the morning.
And guess what? You answered the phone.
There's a
great property
manager
right there.
Do you know what? I did not hear the phone. I mean, I woke up.
Here
the phone
I'm
was
wrapping
right
you up
next
saying,
to my bed.
And you took the call. That's brilliant.
No.
Look, do you know all
I don't
I
think any property manager should take
on
a fire
brigade. Look, fortunately, it wasn't a big fire. It was managed, but it was, that's what happens sometimes.
Happens.
I did take a call one, I was managing a property many years ago in Noble Park, and the neighbour rang me to say, the next door neighbours are throwing rocks on my roof. I had to say, can you call the police? And he said, I've called, but they're so busy.
So you've got to come around.
Yeah, well, you're not going to be able to do anything.
No, you're a mother, you'll get around there now. Stop.
Stop that, you naughty people.
Oh, dear, that's quite funny. What else have I got there? Financial record keeping, that's a big one. So for us, we're obviously collecting money, we're paying outgoings. So literally at the end of the financial year, we can hand a statement and invoices to an owner to just go straight to their account. Receipts in the shoebox.
That can't be underestimated, can it? That cannot be underestimated. So, well, I guess we've gone through some really great stuff here. A couple of key takeaways. The cheapest property manager can be the most expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Look for someone who actually has a service focus, and the best test is just to ring them. Yesterday, we rang a property manager for on behalf of a client, mm-hmm. and here we are, 48 hours later, they haven't called me back.
Goodness.
It's a pretty good sign that's what we're going to expect. So we're going to move on from that person. Walk in a tenant's shoes for a day.
I love that one.
I think it's brilliant because you walk in a tenant's shoes every day.
Yes.
Because you see them. And so a property investor should tap into a good property manager to get some insights for the area. And one of the things that Ben touched on before, you're not going to say it because it's sort of peddling your own barrow, but a property manager that's focused only on property management is a very highly desirable thing.
I think a hands-on director is quite a key point, actually.
Mm.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks for coming on the couch.
Thank you
so
much.
Awesome.
Plug the business. What's it called?
Your Property Manager.
Your Property Manager. Fantastic. And you've actually bought a checklist in for us. Without notice. Can we put that up on the podcast site?
I'd love you to.
Property Couch. Yeah. So we'll get the branding on there as well, so everyone can see who's been kind enough to provide this great information.
That's a very good point. Carolyn is a friend of ours. She runs a very good property management business. We're happy to refer her. She's not paying to be on the Property Couch. We just love her. But if anyone is interested in chatting with Carolyn to ask her a few more questions about what she said today, go straight to thepropertycouch.com.au. We'll have all of her details up on the website so that you can chat with her and talk about maybe any questions you got around investing, any questions you got around property management, she'd be happy to do that. So there's a couple of things. If you go to thepropertycouch.com.au, Ben actually talked a couple of podcasts ago about he was going to do a fear versus greed video. That's actually up there now, folks. So head straight there. Check that out. He's done a great job of explaining that. As per usual, if you go to Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and you'll get some details. Now, are you a social media person, Caroline?
Facebook. We're definitely quite active on Facebook in our business. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
We'll put that up. You don't. Last week we had the property professor on, and we asked him if he had a Twitter handle, and he goes, "What's a Twitter handle?" So if you're in the same boat as that, but you do have.
I think I have one, but I don't know what it is.
That's all right. Ben doesn't know what a Twitter handle is. He's got one, but he doesn't know what it is. So thanks again for coming on the couch.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
We have a really strong focus of property investors around the country and even internationally. Who come on the Property Couch each week. So to give them some really great insights that you've given them in terms of what to look for. But I think there's heaps and heaps of takeaways. Now, hopefully, I'm praying at this point in time that you have a second language, because this is the point where I say it every week that most of our listeners switch off, because we've got this sign-off thing that we've developed into bigger than Ben-Hur now. But we're trying to find a way that Ben doesn't realise he's doing this, but he signs off all around the world in a French accent.
Should never have done it. Should never have thought of this.
My mum's French from Nimea.
Oh.
Yes.
So what's French for goodbye?
Isn't it au revoir?
Of course it is.
Yes.
Should we do that one?
My mum spoke about me in French, not to me, but I think that's about the only word
I know. Well, why don't I let you do the sign-off for this week's podcast?
So there you have it, folks. We've got Carolyn Wright about to sign off. And so until next week...
Au revoir.
Au revoir.
There you have it, folks. See ya.